Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Just, you know, pick a side and be on the right side of history, because at the end of the day, there will be the day where you have to answer for everything that you've done.
This is history that we're seeing in this country each and every day. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. George Floyd was killed over a week ago by a police officer who kneeled on his neck for more than 8 minutes, and the world saw the video evidence and reacted swiftly. Some peacefully protesting, calling for a change in what was happening in the Minneapolis Police Department. There are investigations going on. And then others around the country broke out in looting and rioting, and then peaceful protests. In Los Angeles, thousands upon thousands of people showed up to peacefully protest, and the mayor, Garcetti, Mayor Garcetti was there, and he took a knee with the protesters as well. He became part of the protest, and it was fine after having violence throughout the weekend, or some violent acts is really the proper way to say that, because there still were people that were protesting peacefully in Miami. Officers united with the protesters, peacefully took a knee, and it was something to see. So when people are attacking cops and trying to paint them with a broad brush that they're all racist and that they're is nothing but massive problems with police officers. Yeah, there's some problems with police officers, like many other sectors in the United States, but there are others who are there, who are trying to support, who are listening, who want to listen and be part of the solution, not the dilemma. Not the dilemma. So we saw that in North Carolina. That was such a surprise, because there was kind of a tense standoff with the protesters. I was actually watching this. And then 60-plus officers knelt before the marchers. 60-plus. And they were astounded. And they also took a knee. And it was really one of those moments that was, you got to respect. You have to respect what happened there in Houston, where George Floyd is originally from. 60,000 protested. You could see it. It was just a sea of humanity. Protested peacefully. All kinds of people took knees. And at one point, George Floyd's girlfriend, Roxy Washington, talked about their six-year-old daughter, Gianna, who would never see her father again, who would never be walked down an aisle, or he would never see her graduate. And that was a very sad, deep moment. On hand for that was former NBA player Steven Jackson, who played in the NBA for 14 years, who was good friends with George Floyd and played hoop with him in college, said that he would be there for her. And then there's the anger, the flash anger, and the craziness, and the finger pointing as to who is doing that, and out-of-state license plates pouring into cities, and New York City getting just demolished in their midtown Manhattan area. Macy's broken into, Saks Fifth Avenue wrapped, basically. Their store in razor wire, paid $16,000 to have security that included dogs and security guards to watch over the historic store, because it has been there forever, since like the beginning of time when New York sprouted up, seriously. And they decided that that's what they were going to do. They weren't going to be ransacked. They were going to take it into account that this could happen. So if this is going to happen, you know, we're going to be there. In New York City, again, problems with bridges, shutting down bridges, curfews, all of that, and people coming over from Brooklyn and saying they're going to come into New York, and police having a tense standoff with them. They ultimately went back over the bridge back to Brooklyn, where there were other police officers greeting them. And from all accounts of what I know and people who are texting me that are covering that area, say it's okay, tense but okay. Then there was Philadelphia, where there was a ShopRite store where the owner of that store said looters ravaged the store basically for 15 hours straight, took whatever they wanted from the pharmacy, the liquor department, the cash register. I mean, just completely took everything out of it they possibly could. So you got to think of these businesses already on financially shaky ground after 10 weeks of COVID-19 closures. Now you've got massive damage in some of these cases. That how do you bounce back from that? So stores anticipating being looted, board up like a hurricane's going to blow them down. So some businesses were lucky, others not. Some small businesses, even a complete wash. It's just not right to see that, people. It is just not right. It's not right what happened to George Floyd, and it's not right that people are taking advantage of that and emotions and trying to turn it into something else. How long does it continue? I don't know. Could be another week, could be another couple of weeks that happens. And we've seen some sad things. You had four police officers who were shot in St. Louis. You had a retired captain killed on Facebook Live, and they had to remove it. 77 years old. People loved him in the area, and he saw what was happening. And, of course, that was his nature. He jumped in. He spent half of his life on the Missouri force, and he was shot dead like a dog, frankly, on the sidewalk in front of a pawn shop. Awful, the brutality of that. There are no words. There are no words for that. The video, luckily, again, taken down, and the police are looking at it, of course, and trying to find witnesses and whatnot. And the reason he was there, because people are saying, why was David Dorn there in the first place? Because he was a friend of the small business owner, pawn shop owner's store. I mean, he was trying to help him. He's trying to help his friend who was a small business owner. And he checked on the property, and the burglar alarm went off. And because of the violent protests, he did what he was going to do to help his friend, never thinking, of course, that would be the last night of his life, nor his family thinking that at all. In the meantime, COVID-19, how are the cases of COVID-19 in the United States? At this point, 108,000 people are dead. 421,000, thankfully, have recovered. And that's out of 1.87 million cases worldwide. 376,000 deaths, confirmed cases, 6.19 million. That's worldwide. More numbers coming up on this version of We Can Count.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than two decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
This is a pandemic survival alert and the most time-sensitive messages you will hear this year. You still have time to plant a one-acre crisis garden and secure a supply of your own nutrient-dense food. But time is running out, and it's one deadline you don't want to miss. Who should plant a crisis garden? Individuals, families, churches, communities, anyone or any group that sees hard times ahead. Let's face it, even the mainline media is talking about food supply disruptions and the growing number of grocery store workers who are becoming sick. But there's more. Meat packing plants are closing, mile-long lines at food pantries, and more farmers now in financial trouble. The truth is, growing nutrient-dense vegetables this summer may be the single most important thing you do. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com and watch the new video to understand what we're really up against. Get free bonus seeds, special quarantine reports, too. Don't wait. Every minute counts. Go to SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM. All right, so it's all about the numbers. We agree, virtually, of course. The numbers can affect us in lots of different ways. How about this poll that shows 27% unlikely to be vaccinated against the coronavirus? Yeah, saying, yeah, no thanks. Unpersuaded by the more than 100,000 pandemic deaths in the United States, which we just know the total is 108,000 and counting, 45% of pretty strong conservatives, you might count yourself in that group, 4 in 10 Republicans and nearly as many evangelical Christians say they'd be unlikely to get vaccinated against the coronavirus even for free. Overall, 27% of adults in this ABC News Washington Post poll say, yep, definitely, or probably they would get the vaccine. I like that, probably. So you look at the 27% number in this poll. Definitely is 15% of that. The probably is 12%. So that really says to me, less than 27%, because they don't trust vaccines in general. They don't think it's needed in this case. Do you fall into that category? It's tough, right? You have to disseminate the information and look at it for yourself. Here's what I say to anybody, right? Nobody's coming to save you. It's up to you. And to be that person, you have to stand strong. And if your belief is, oh, this is ridiculous, no, then you stand by that. And if you think the opposite and you believe some of what you're reading, I say you go with the journals that you know to be the best in the medical business and what they say when these vaccines come out and what they're telling us as far as these clinical trials, and you can make up your mind. I believe that way, but I'm not telling you what to do. I challenge you to research along with me as we get closer and you have a better idea of it. You know, it's interesting when we look at what's happening with voting. So there's this argument over mail-in ballots and would they be Jimmy rigged, the my favorite word, or would they be pure and honest? So we've got all kinds of things happening, but we have voters in eight states we had and the nation's capital that headed to the voting booth on Tuesday for the single biggest day of voting since the onset of the coronavirus. So that's the primary season, right? It restarts it. It throws it into disarray, though, when you think about what happened, the political unrest with the whole George Floyd, sadly, death, and the marches. You had voters in Indiana, Maryland, Montana, New Mexico. You might be listening to us in those great places. I've realized I've lived in all these places, except for Montana, but I visited Montana. Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Dakota. Yeah, I visited South Dakota and lived there either. And the District of Columbia held presidential contests. Although, of course, the primaries for both parties are already settled with the two presumptive nominees, former VP Joe Biden and President Donald Trump. And Iowa, the first state in the country to hold a presidential contest with its caucuses on February 3rd, is set to held down ballot primaries for the U.S. Senate, four U.S. House seats among lower profile races. And there were a couple of shakeups in that were unexpected. And, it's interesting because there were some last-minute changes. And it looked to me from everything that I could see in a lot of the video that I saw, you had people that were really kind of spacing themselves out. So they weren't, they were doing what they could, let's say, to social distance. Yeah, they were social distancing as they were voting, and it was set up that way. Let's put it that way. So controversial Congressman Steve King loses the Iowa GOP primary battle. That was a shakeup. He's a nine-term Republican congressman, and it was a heavily contested race. So that's interesting. He had been kind of a conservative lightning rod in D.C. for some of his views. A lot of people, he's one of those guys. They either just totally love him or they don't like him. And Republican National Committee Chairwoman Rona McDaniel tweeted on Wednesday that King's white supremacist rhetoric is inconsistent with the Republican Party. And she said, I'm glad Iowa Republicans reject him at the ballot. So, poof, their voices certainly were heard. Not even a tight one there for him. Speaking of politics and the convention, the president is looking beyond North Carolina for a convention as the relationship is definitely deteriorating with the governor, Roy Cooper, there because he's not budging. The demand from the Prez was that he pre-authorize a gathering of at least 19,000 people. And with the shelter-in-place mode, he's not allowing the Republicans to occupy the total arena as originally was anticipated. So now the president tweeted out just a few hours ago, in fact, that the Republicans are forced to seek another state to host the Republican convention, and there are several who say they would like to host it, but it's not going to be North Carolina, not going to be Charlotte. It certainly does not look that way. North Carolina, by the way, has voted, we know this, Republican in every presidential election but one, 1980. And it's expected to be kind of contested this year, but that's a big impact on North Carolina. But the message was clear. If you're not going to let that happen, we're not hanging with you. So don't even try to kind of compromise here. There is no compromise to be had. You're either playing along or you're not playing along, and that's that. And so there you go. How about this? You look at just the shock of some of what we're seeing. And when I saw this story, I just thought it was the worst. this David McAtee, who is the owner of a popular barbecue joint in Western Louisville, was shot and killed early Monday morning after police and soldiers from the National Guard opened fire on protesters, and he was there. He's the owner of Yaya's Barbecue, and it happened about, you know, just after midnight in a food mart area. Dino's Food Mart is what it is, if you know it, but regardless, it's a food mart. And someone shot at the crowd, and then someone shot in from the crowd, then they returned fire, and man, just an awful thing. He was hit, and that's a guy that was super, super popular and had a reputation in the community of good food, friendly, and popular with everybody. So he didn't discriminate. He was about the barbecue and friendship, and if you know what I mean. And he was very, very well liked, and that's an incredibly, incredibly sad, sad story. By the way, Apple says, we're tracking our iPhones. They're watching the looters who pillaged stores during the protests. Thieves who made off with iPhones from Apple stores learned that the gadgets are loaded with security software. Aren't they paying attention? It's got a special message for looters, and it says this device has been disabled and is being tracked, and local authorities will be alerted. So Apple had locations ransacked in New York, Los Angeles, and in Washington, and I guess they thought that they were going to walk away with a prize, but they had a surprise in store for them, thinking that because that's exactly the thing that lights up almost immediately. Hey, and a sad note here, a star who was a class act, Wes Unseld, who was an NBA great at one point in his life, has died, and he was 74 years old, and he had a bad bout with pneumonia, which ultimately took his life, and he loved Louisville. That became his adopted home when he got there in 1968, and he went back after his career. And like I said, he was a legend. The Bullets drafted him number 2 overall in 1968. And he was an undersized center, but he was a guy who took it to the hole. Let's put it that way. RIP Wes Unseld. Stay with us.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Minneapolis, a city in turmoil, is facing a critical review of the behavior of its police department.
This is the first time that the state is launching a civil rights investigation into the systemic discriminatory practices of the largest police department in the state. It is also the only investigation surrounding the killings of George Floyd, focusing on the policies and practices implemented by the Minneapolis Police Department.
Minnesota Governor Tim Walz.
I say this, as a white man who walks through that life with pretty much relative ease, I can't ever know the pain of that back community members. But I hear you, I'm listening, and one of the things I need to do is use that ability to change.
In Washington, D.C.,
who are you protecting? Who are you protecting?
Demonstrators are out once again in the streets of the nation's capital as controversy continues over Monday night's use of force directed at protesters outside the White House. This is USA Radio News. For a third straight day, former Vice President Joe Biden has made a public appearance, this time leaving Delaware for the first time since March. In Philadelphia, he blasted the president's handling of national unrest.
We can be forgiven for believing the president's more interested in power than in principle. The president of the United States must be part of the solution, not the problem.
Federal authorities have charged an Illinois man for crossing state lines into Minnesota, where he filmed himself passing out explosive devices and urging people to throw them at police and buildings during a nationwide unrest over the police-involved death of George Floyd. Matthew Rupert of Galesburg, Illinois, was charged in Chicago for civil disorder and possession of an unregistered destructive device. According to the complaint, Rupert posted a video to his Facebook on Thursday night saying he was heading to Minneapolis to participate in the protests. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano-colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Abraham Lincoln's. I can't even imagine tackling his story, but someone who's done it so beautifully, and this book is fantastic, is Joseph Rota. He's in our virtual green room right now, and he's written a book called Abraham Lincoln Making a Case, The Story of a Master. Joe, thanks so much for coming on.
You're quite welcome. Thank you for the invitation.
So what made you write this book? Why'd you write the book?
It was really to share what I had come to learn in my own research of Lincoln's ability to persuade in speeches and on paper. I began this project as a result of giving seminars to lawyers and laypeople, and was constantly met with suggestions that I should write this. And so I did, as the research for it became greater, the notes expanded, it kind of lent itself to the format that was ultimately chosen. But I found that most people, like myself, before I began this research, were not aware, even lawyers were not aware, for example, of how good he was in the courtroom before he turned to politics.
And so, you know, you talk about, you already mentioned the word persuasion. What made him so good at persuasion?
It was a combination of things. His personality, his intellect, and his credibility, and then his masterful use of clarity, fact, logic, and emotion.
So tell us about personality, because I think people don't know a lot about Lincoln's personality.
He loved to speak. He used to say he drew energy from it. He could try a case all day and then go give a lecture for 3 or 4 hours the same night. He also wanted recognition. He was very ambitious, and politics was the fastest way to recognition in his day. And he was a perfectionist and willing to spend the time in research, analysis, and drafting to make his speeches good. And finally, he had an ear for rhythm in speech, which lent further power to and to his writings.
Boy, yeah, I would agree with that after going back and looking at some of his work. What would you say were, when you look at the speeches that he gave, were his two biggest speeches that people remember and really show how he was at persuasion and the gift of how he weaved his words?
Probably the Gettysburg Address and his second inaugural address, the two speeches of his that are etched into his monument in Washington. The Gettysburg Address, and both of them were short. We think of Lincoln sometimes with his three-hour speeches, which was common in that day for orators. But these two were very short, 200 words for Gettysburg and just a little over 700 for the second inaugural.
Wow. And, you know, you talk about how he loved to speak. You talk about his intellect. And the thing that so many of us remember, we learned it when we were kids. This is one thing we learned for sure. His nickname, Honest Abe. Why did he have such credibility?
He believed that if you were going to persuade someone, he said, you must first make him think you are his friend. And he conveyed that in many ways. He conveyed sincerity. He conveyed goodwill and good humor, often responding to a nasty comment by one of his opponents with a joke, one of the many that he stored for the proper occasion. He also conceded points that were true or not essential to his case, which lent credibility then to the points that he did emphasize very strongly.
Yeah, and he knew how to emphasize them for sure. We're speaking with Joe Rota, Abraham Lincoln Making a Case, the Story of a Master. You can pick it up on Amazon. We're in the era of fact-checking. You know, we're always fact-checking politicians, and then we have fake news versus fact. And you say that Lincoln was a stickler for fact. Tell us
absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. His youngest partner, after his death, said that Lincoln would not speak about anything until he could learn as much as possible about it. When he became president, for example, he recognized he had no military background to speak of, and he became the single biggest borrower from the Library of Congress. And the texts that he was taking out were military ones. But whether it be an issue in his cases as a lawyer, or an issue in politics, he researched things to get the facts, and then once he had them, he emphasized them. He emphasized that a statement he had just made was not his opinion, but a fact. And then he challenged his opponents to meet his facts with contrary, true facts, and he pounced when the opponent could not do so. It was, in many ways, his tremendous command of fact that so impressed the audiences that heard him. They would see him for the first time, and he was gangly, awkward, looked like anything but a statesman. And then he would come out with this beautiful, magnificently arranged array of fact after fact after fact. It was said that by the time he finished his rendition of facts, his argument had already been made. It also said that for the first 30 minutes of one of his speeches, as he laid out his facts, all his opponent could do was sit there and nod yes.
Because they were stunned. They had no response back to that. Boy, and that illustrates it. So you look at Lincoln, and often politicians hearken back to Lincoln for a reason. How do you think Lincoln would do today?
I think he would do very well. He was a very intelligent person. He used to deprecate his intelligence, saying that his mind was like steel or a hard rock, very difficult to get anything etched into it, and once in it, very difficult, almost impossible to get it out. But in fact, he had a first-rate mind. This is a man who had less than a year of formal schooling, and that only in backwards rural one-room schoolhouses. He was self-taught on persuasion. This was the era, for example, of oratory. It was the era begun by Daniel Webster, Henry Clay, John Calhoun. Orators were celebrities, and because of that, every good school taught oratory and rhetoric. And yet, in this mix, with so many talented orators surrounding him, this one man with no formal education in oratory and virtually no formal education at all rose ultimately above everybody to the highest office in the land. He was very adaptive as a politician. There was no shrewder politician in his day. And I think that without question, he would do very well. While he gave long speeches, he also, as I mentioned, gave short ones very effectively. I cannot imagine anybody being better at a soundbite than the person who authored the statement that the world will not long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. Or with malice towards all, with malice towards none, charity for all. The author of that would do very well on TV, in debates, you name it.
Boy, I agree with that, and you're right, because he has those, you know what he would do? He would do so well with hashtags, because everybody would be repeating what he said, and we see that often that still does happen. How does your book, Joe, differ from other books on Lincoln that have been written out there?
Well, biographies of Lincoln mention, of course, his famous speeches and writings, but they do so packaged in with hundreds of pages on the other aspects of his truly fascinating life, and it was truly fascinating. He was Shakespeare in the 19th century. My book focuses on one thing only, his ability to persuade and its importance in his life. And while other books on Lincoln or articles look at a given speech or writing of his, I look at all his important speeches and writings. And while other books look at what made him so good, mine looks at those features, such as credibility, clarity, and the rest, in greater detail than I have found in other resources on him.
And Joe's book again, Abraham Lincoln, Making a Case, The Story of a Master. And you can find it again, Joseph Rota. Look there. It's easy to look it up on Amazon. Who do you think would love this book? I think anyone could use this book, frankly. But for whom do you think this book would be of interest?
Well, certainly anyone who seeks to persuade. And I'm not just speaking of lawyers such as myself, but anyone, salespeople, politicians, whatever. But also, I think any of the thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of Lincoln fans, this book gives a slice of his life in detail that was all important. And indeed, we remember Lincoln for many things, but without his ability to persuade, we would remember him for nothing. We would never have heard of him. It was this talent, and only that talent, that propelled him from a local, out-of-office politician with no apparent future for anything to the highest office in the land and the place in history that he has.
Well, again, it's so interesting to read this book, and you just summed up the reasons why. Just quickly, 30 seconds left. Joe, was it fun writing this?
Very much fun. Yes, I enjoyed the evolution of it. There were times when I wondered, would I really get it into a book form? But it was, I learned so much about him and so much more impressive than when I began.
Perfect place to end this. Abraham Lincoln, Making a Case, The Story of a Master. Joe Rota, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Kate.
Abraham Lincoln, I would like to go back in time and be your wife.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
This is a Corona Crisis Self-Reliance Alert. If you're worried about the power grid in the current crisis and want to generate your own supply of off-the-grid electrical power, just in case, pay close attention. Here's why. A limited supply of solar backup generators will be available again in the next 2 weeks. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving electrical backup power when you get off the grid. And unlike gas generators, these solar generators run quietly, emit no fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Dangerous weather, social unrest, or overloaded grids this summer will not be a problem if you go to mysolarbackup.com and get your solar backup generator. We regret that supplies are limited and only available on a first-come, first-served basis. Check availability at mysolarbackup.com. Never suffer painful power outages again. Go to mysolarbackup.com. That's mysolarbackup.com.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
This book, the author's waiting for us, How I Got Off That Tree Limb. And it's when you think of that, a tree limb, what does that signify to you? And really, after reading his book and looking at what he's done, it completely makes sense. Plus, I got stuck on a tree limb once. So Greg Harris joins us now. Hey, Greg, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Kate. How are you doing?
So, seriously, I love the title of the book. Tell us about your book and how you came up with that.
Well, when I was 22, I was over the young people at my church, and this preacher that I have invited to come through, he was an evangelist, and he would go all around the country. He said to me, get off that tree limb, and he pointed out to an apple tree that had apples on it. He said, look out that one. He gave me an example because I didn't know what he was talking about. And he said, you see that tree out there with the apples? You can't have an apple pie, you can't have an apple pie until you get the apples off the tree. And he said to me, get off that limb and stay with me to this day. So that's sort of like how I came up with that title, Get Off That Tree Limb, How I Got Off That Tree Limb. I'm telling the story about how I got off the tree limb. So that's how I came up with that title.
Yeah, so tell us about your life, because like everybody else, and I think people sometimes look at other people and think that it's just the high road, but there's highs and lows that everybody deals with, right?
Yes, I've had highs and lows within my life. Even when I was born before time, and my dad used to tell me the story that I wasn't big as a tin can. He said they had to carry me around on a pillow because I was so tiny. So I was born before time. But I'm here, and I just celebrated my 60th birthday in January. So, yeah.
Wow, congratulations. And what do you, when you, you know, if you and I met and we were sitting next to each other on a plane back when we used to fly, and you said, oh, I wrote this book, what would you tell me your book is about?
Well, I just, you know, retired with a 27 years career in education, and I wanted to tell my life story in a book. I recently had released a children's book a couple years ago, and before releasing this book, I felt that my story could encourage, inspire, and motivate my readers. So I would tell you, you got to get this book. I would tell you it's about my life. I'm telling my life story, and I believe that it can inspire you. Because, you know, sometimes when you're on a plane and you're talking to people, sometimes they've gone through some things, and you tell them they kind of, you know, took up their appetite to get the book.
Yeah, and that's exactly right. You don't know who you're sitting next to. That's why I use that analogy. So 27 years as an educator, what was that like?
Oh, I had a lot of fun. 10 years in the classroom. I still have, you know, when I go back home where I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, I still have students that come up to me, and sometimes I can call their names, and they like, "What the hell is that?" So I had a lot of fun teaching. I taught for 10 years, and then I went on the union side, so I retired on the union side. I worked as an exec in Des Moines, Iowa, before I retired from education.
Wow, so that's two interesting different places, and there had to be a few little nuances between them, but you must have, you must feel good about the amount of people that you influence, do you?
Yes, I feel real good about that, and, you know, just from the publisher, you know, just reading some of the comments and some of the those who have purchased the book, you know, one person said that they got the book and they keep it by their bed, and when they're not 100, they get it for inspiration and motivation, and that just, like, just floored me. It just really took me under that somebody would say that about the book, so it made me feel good.
So you've written a children's book. You talked about that. You retire and you want to tell your life story. And obviously you just explained how somebody put it next to their bed because it was so motivating, helps them, that kind of thing. When you finished the book, because, you know, Greg, so many people say they're going to write a book. Oh, I'm going to write a book. I got to tell my story. And they don't do it. What kind of an accomplishment does that feel like for you?
Well, to do my second one, it feels really good. I was on a cruise ship with my brother, and I was telling him I had these chapters that I had written, and he was telling me, you got to finish. So every day, it's like I was just relaxed, and I was able to just, you know, maybe read what I had wrote the day before, and it just started flowing. I think it comes from, you know, when I was in the fifth grade, my teacher allowed me to write plays in the fifth grade, and writing has always been a part of me. Even in the 10th grade, I wrote a speech when I ran for a reporter for DECA, the Short of Education Clubs of America. And when I finished my speech, I had standing ovation, and teachers were crying and everybody, and I had never experienced anything like that before. So I think my creativity from fifth grade, you know, prepared me for this moment.
When people read your book, what do you hope they take away from it?
Well, what I hope that they can take from this book, life is hard and it has its challenges. But with a little push and motivation of oneself, anything is possible, and anyone can push themselves to get off that tree limb. So I want people to take from the book that I've had all these different challenges in my life, ups and downs, highs and lows that I talk about. Even, you know, when I was 15, I had a throat condition, and I had to deal with that, you know, going through surgery, having my vocal cords cracked, losing my voice completely, having people laugh at me, all of those different challenges. I wanted to become a singer. People used to laugh at my voice, and I have been able to sing and sing before thousands of people. So even though you have challenges in life, I want people to take that you can still push yourself and get off the tree limb. Whatever your tree limb is, you know, it could be fear, it could be doubt, it could be disbelief, it could be feeling sorry for yourself. Whatever that limb is, you can push yourself and get off the tree limb.
And I love that.
I want people to take.
And I want people to know this too, and it is again about getting off the tree limb. How I got off that tree limb, we're speaking with Dr. Greg Harris. You tell some funny stories in the book too. I want you to give us one funny one. There was something about a mouse when you were a kid and a teacher. Tell us about that one.
It was when her third grade in Miss Haney's room, I remember that she stood up on a chair and screamed. And, you know, in adult life, you hear these stories, you know, about, you know, are you really books about that happening? And it actually happened, and I remember that, where a mouse ran out the closet, and she jumped up on the chair and screamed. So I remember that. And another funny story, I remember when I was in the ninth grade, my English teacher told a story about when she was in college and she was studying to be a drama major, and she said a group of people came in, and they acted like they were shooting, but they had a banana, and then they took people out on a stretcher, and the response of how people acted. So that was another funny story.
I like it. So there's a lot of fun stuff in this, too. Lessons to be learned, things to take away from it, no question about it. And, again, the name of the book, you can get it on Amazon, How I Got Off That Tree Limb, Dr. Greg Harris. And you got that apple pie, right?
Yeah, I made plenty of apple pie.
Perfect.
I had to get the apples off of the tree, and I brought them in, cut them up, and made the apple pie, yes.
I love it. Perfect place to end this. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Wow, so interesting to talk to Greg because he tells a story that so many of us have rattling around in our head and we don't think of it that way. I love the part where he talked about being as big as a tin can and he had to be carried around. Can you imagine? On a pillow. And he really does have a great sense of humor wrapped up in this book. He tells a lot of different stories that I think so many of us can relate to. And how cool is that? I related to the fact that he talked about his fifth grade teacher allowing him to use creativity, and he used that creativity, and he said that, to write plays and that the students would act out his plays. I had a fifth grade teacher, I still remember the fifth grade teacher's name, Mr. Mascola, and he gave me an award for having the most potential in the class. And I had never gotten that kind of an award before. And he told me that I was smart and I had a great way of thinking through things, etc. But that stuck with me. And when I, just like Greg saying, when I felt like I was slipping or I was having a difficult time, because you have those highs and lows, I remember always Mr. Mascola and the fact that he, you know, he made me feel special. He made me feel like I had something. And that's what he talks about in the book, that, again, it goes back to that analogy. You can't get the apple pie until you get the apples off the tree. I love that lesson. So you have to get off the limb. And like Greg said, that's why the title, as I said to him in the beginning, was so powerful. It is really true, right? And then it stayed with him for his whole life. Something great to take away from that. Again, you can get that book on Amazon.com. Thanks to all of you for listening to this version of the show. Remember, we're all in this together.
Sin can bar you from God. Disobedience, pride, rebellion can separate your God. Satan with his devil's indignment.
Are you still under stay-at-home orders trying to figure out what to do with your free time even after the lockdown is over? Why not try World of Warship? With World of Warships, you can command a massive naval fleet featuring some of history's most iconic war vessels. Unlock new ships as you prepare to dominate the oceans. Each ship is accurate to the original. Each battle will make you feel like you're right there. Each week, there's something new to experience with new missions, game updates, and events to keep you and your friends engaged for hours. Play over 300 ships across 10 different nations. World of Warships currently has over 30 million players worldwide. It's the perfect game to take your mind off things as we self-isolate to help flatten the coronavirus curve. To play for free, go to worldofwarships.com and use the invite code BOOM. BOOM gets players started with two cruisers, one American, one German, as well as some premium currency. Check it out at worldofwarships.com today. Use the invite code BOOM. World of Warships, the thinking man's action game at worldofwarships.com. Invite code BOOM.